Well, we shall continue our study in the book of Genesis, and I invite your attention tonight to the fifth chapter. We'll just read verses 21 through 24, and we're going to talk about a man who would not and who did not die. Genesis 5, 21 and 24. Let me just give you a little bit of the setting. After Cain kills Abel, the fourth and fifth chapter continues by telling us that from Adam to Noah, there are 11 generations. And of each generation, it says, and this one was born to that one, and he lived this many years, and he died. And then of the next, it says, and this one was born to that one, and he lived so many years, and he died. The statistics on death are quite impressive. One out of one. Everybody died up until Enoch. And when we're about to read this passage, we're going to hear that Enoch did not die. He just was not. And we'll explain that beginning in verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Father, as we study the Word tonight, would you just help it to come alive to our hearts and to our minds and to our understandings? And may we glean from your Word something that will encourage us in the struggles of life. May we learn more about you so that we might love you more and live for you more. And may we tonight just find refuge and peace in these moments that we spend in your service and in your sanctuary and worshiping you, the true and the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin by just talking about the testimony of Enoch. I think it's quite interesting that in the Old Testament, 51 words are said about Enoch, and in the New Testament, 94 words are said about him. And even though he has almost twice the publicity and coverage in the New Testament as he does in the Old Testament, add those two together and you have 145 words said about this man, and that's not many. Those could be spoken in a moment's time. We summed up a man who lived hundreds of years in just a moment's time. But in summing him up, we can say some very worthy and worthwhile and valuable things. The testimony of Enoch is very simple. He walked with God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 says that he pleased God. And then the question comes, what does it take to please God? And the answer is someone who walks with him. Look first at the direction of Enoch's walk. It is not God walking with Enoch, but rather it says Enoch walked with God. Now, don't get me wrong, God was there. God made the decision. God is always before us, behind us, beside us. He's always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. His presence is all we need to be, all we need to be. But it specifically says that Enoch walked with God. I have no problem declaring that God walks with me. He's a faithful God. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never turned his back on me. You too can say the same thing. God walks with his children. But it's something else to say. His children, in turn, walk with him. It's what some of the old Puritan preachers talked about when they said it's the pursuit of God in the life of one who is going to continue, and perseverance was what they talked about. Someone who kept on keeping on, who pursued God, who walked with God on a consistent basis. So I want you to know tonight that it was not just God walking with Enoch. and we praise him for his presence, but let's brag on Enoch for a moment. For 300 years in his life, he walked with God. What do I think that means? What do I think it meant for him? I think it means for him that he was a godly and righteous man. I think his ears were attuned to the voice of God. I think his eyes were attuned to the sight of God. I think his heart was attuned to the will of God. That's what I think it meant for Enoch. What does it mean for us today? Much the same thing. But I think for us today, someone who's willing to walk with God is going to be a student of his word. You're not going to know how to walk with God unless you study the word to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think that someone who walks with God today is going to be known as a prayer warrior. I do not believe that you can walk with God, know the direction that he is walking, know the will of his, of God for your life, know the plan of God, unless you are praying and communicating with him. I believe with all my heart that it's Bible study and prayer that helps us walk with God. I believe faithfulness to your church will be a consideration if you walk with God. I don't mind telling you, the older I get, the less I mind being known for someone who says what he believes, and here's what I believe. Folks that say, oh, I love the Lord, I just don't care anything about the church. They need to figure out that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and you can't love the head without loving the body. And we are the body of Jesus Christ. And quite frankly, if you don't love the church, you don't love the Lord according to the word of God. For God's word says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together like the heathen, as the manner of some is. So what do I think it means to walk with God? I think it means a man whose heart's in the word, whose knees are on the floor, a man who prays, a man who's faithful to his church. I believe it means folks who get involved in ministry. Not just spectators, but participators, people who look for ways to serve God, the true and the living God, getting involved in ministry, finding somebody that needs to be ministered to. It's not about me, it's about them. It's about me reaching out. It's about me serving God by serving others. It's about being the hands and the feet. It's about being the voice of and the eyes and the ears of Almighty God on this earth. And I really believe if you're walking with God, you'll talk like he talks, and you'll walk like he walks, and you'll feel what he feels, and you'll develop a divine perspective, and you'll be able to share the good news of the gospel. I think that's what walking with God would mean, and I have this in mind. If you will do those things and walk with God, you can be sure that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. If you'll walk with God, I am certain that God will walk with you. He is a faithful Father. Not just the direction of his walk, when we talk about his testimony, we talk a little bit about the duration of his walk. It's incredible. Look back at the passage and don't miss this. He lived 65 years and he fathered Methuselah. And after that time, he lived 300 more years for a total of 365 years. We're not sure, and I'll talk about it in a moment. We're not sure about those first 65 years. It doesn't say he did not walk with God, but it doesn't say that he did. It says that following the birth of his son, he began to walk with God, and he walked with God for 300 years. I'll have to be honest, and I'll tell you, I've known dozens and dozens and maybe even hundreds of times in my ministry where a young family would husband and wife get married and perhaps get a little bit lax and apathetic about faithfulness to church, and they'd sleep in and they were free, and so they'd take a trip and they'd go here and they'd go there. But when God began to send children into their life, it changed everything. And I've seen many the young couple come back to faithfulness and come back to the Father and come back to the house of God because they wanted something better for their children than what the world had to offer. And I'm glad when I see that, but I'm more happy when I see a young couple start out full speed ahead for Jesus. You never get that 65 years back. Although you say, but 300 years, but you never get that 65 years back. And what would happen if we could live lives where no days and no weeks and no months and no years were wasted? What would happen if we could come away with the testimony that said, my testimony is that I've never been bad, but I wasn't good enough to go to heaven, and God saved me by His grace? Why do we have to fall head over heels in love with people whose testimony is that for all these years they lived an ungodly life and then Jesus saved them? Listen, I was 7 when He saved me, and the worst thing I'd ever done was broke out a plate glass window with a baseball. But I needed salvation just like Al Capone. I needed salvation just like any and every lost individual. What would happen if some of us could develop testimonies that said, I've walked with Him since I knew how to walk. I've walked with God. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all those who trust and obey. His testimony was He walked with the Lord. The second thing I would call to your attention is the transformation of Enoch, verses 21 and 22. And there I would come back again and repeat, something happened at the birth of Methuselah. It was not God's particular plan and will that He share with us what happened, but something happened, and I want to frame it maybe in this statement. Maybe Enoch realized his parental responsibility. Maybe holding a baby in his arms was an encouragement to turn toward the one who had given life and the one who sustains life and the one who helps us live the abundant life. If a father does not live for God, he shouldn't be surprised if his son doesn't either. Did you hear me? If a father does not live for God, he shouldn't be too surprised if his children don't live for God, because they're watching, they're listening, and they're waiting on you to raise them in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Maybe Enoch suddenly realized his parental responsibility. I love the idea of the little girl who always, wherever she was singing a praise song. Somebody asked her one time, why do you love God? And she said, oh, I just guess it runs in the family. I like that. My daddy loved God. My mother loved God. My older brother, my older sister loved God. And I love God because I have seen what it means to love God. I serve God because I've watched what it means to serve God. Our marriage is tight and firm and committed because I had parents whose marriage was tight and firm and committed who loved God. The important thing is that something happened to Enoch after Methuselah was born. And something needs to happen to all of us when we're given that awesome, unbelievable responsibility to raise our children. And more in our day and time than ever before, we need godly parents. We need somebody who will take a firm stand for the cause of Christ. Not only did he realize his parental responsibility, you're going to need to be a math student for a second, because I want you to see how he received a prophetic revelation. I want to add some numbers together that the passage gives to us. So let's go back and just let me emphasize some numbers. Enoch lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years, had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, watch this. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. And 782 years and had he lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. 969. Hold that in your heart and mind just for a moment. Now watch what verse 28 says. Lamech lived 182 years. He fathered a son and called his name Noah. Out of the ground that the Lord had cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So if you were to take the 187 years that Methuselah lived before he fathered Lamech, and if you were to take the 182 years that Lamech lived before he fathered a son called Noah, and add those two together, you would come up with 369 years. And then if you were to turn to chapter 7 and verse 11, you would read, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth and the windows of the heavens were open. So what I'm saying is, when Noah was 600 years old, the flood began. So if you take 187 years and add 182 years, you have 369 years. If you add 600 years that Noah lived until the flood came, you have a total of 969 years. And Methuselah lived 969 years. And the name Methuselah simply means, in the year it comes, you shall die. That's extraordinary prophecy in Scripture. God showing forth himself to the very time of the prophecy. In the year it shall come when you die. And the flood came, the first rainfall the earth ever knew anything about. The flood came in 969 years, in the same year that Methuselah died. That's extraordinary, but that's how God works, and that information must have settled deep in the heart of Enoch as he was transformed. Let me move quickly to one last thought, the translation of Enoch back to the text, verse 23 and 24. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. What do you think that means? He was not. I think it means he was called away. He was caught away. One of the old preachers used to say that if they walked together every day, one day God and Enoch were walking along and God said, Enoch, it's getting late. Enoch said, yes, sir. God said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Why don't you just go home with me tonight? That's really what death is for the Christian. I don't mean to minimize the pain that's left in the hearts of those that are left behind. But if you could really realize one thing, it would make a difference in how you and I look at death. We have been left behind in the land of the dying. Our loved one has gone on to the land of the living. And we have messed that theology up. They've died, we say. No, they've been caught up. They've been called up. They've been translated. And while in the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter, we're just talking about a man called Enoch, If you'd read a little bit in the New Testament, you'd discover that one of these days there's going to be a multitude that no man can number that's going to be caught up, called out. He was, but he is not. What's so exciting about that day is drawing closer every moment that goes by. Enoch was translated. He was caught away. That word also implies he was carried across. And I've told this a number of times, but it's the best illustration that I've really ever heard. Often when my children were at home and they were fairly small and we would be out late doing ministry or fellowshipping or wherever it was we were, we would scoop them up and take them to the car, and it was back before the days of seat belts and all those. We just pile them up in the back seat and hope for the best. And well, confession's good for the soul. It's terrible for the reputation, but it's good for the soul, so I'm just telling you the truth. And often we'd get home, and we'd scoop them up and take them into their room and put them to bed and cover them up. And more than once, one of them would wake up the next morning and say, "How did I get here? How did I get here?" Well, you were just caught up. You were just scooped up from where you fell asleep and carried home. We have to get that image. That's why we don't grieve as those who have no hope. That's why we believe that if Jesus was raised from the dead, that spirit dwells in our mortal bodies also and will raise us up. Because one of these days, like Enoch, we'll not really die. In fact, Don Chandler cannot die. I'm an eternal being. My flesh can quit, my body can give up, but my soul and spirit are going to be scooped up, called away by a Father who loves me. And I may awaken and say, "How did I get here?" And I think the answer will be, "Well, you got here by the grace of God and by the wings of holy angels and by a nail-scarred hand who called you home." And that's exactly what happened to Enoch. He was carried away. There will be a generation, maybe mine, maybe yours, maybe our children or our grandchildren, there will be a generation who will just be walking with God one day, and God will say, "It's late. We're much closer to my house than yours. Come go along with me." And a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised, and the living saints will be raptured. The old man was very sick. He lay on his deathbed. When the nurse came in and said, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Any minute now, I'll be well. Any minute now, I'll be well." He knew that absent from the body was present with the Lord. Enoch, here one moment, and he was not. He was caught away. He was carried over. He had this testimony that he pleased God. If you please God, you'll walk with him. If you please God and walk with him, he will walk with you. And goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's stand. Mike and I will be in the altar, and we'll just sing a couple of verses of some song of encouragement. And if we can help you in any way, pray for you, pray with you, tell you how to be saved, or introduce you to membership in our church, we'd be glad to do that.
Dying with Jesus by death reckoned.